From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. On Sunday night, the stars will be out, the votes will be in for the Academy Awards. Yes, it's a self-congratulatory evening with plenty of schmaltz, but this was a strikingly good year for film. Picking the best actor, actress, director, soundtrack can mean picking a fight. What, you passed over Llewyn Davis? You liked the dizzying heights of Gravity over the gravitas of 12 Years a Slave? This hour on Point, who should win the Oscars? You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Who should, who will walk away with an Oscar, with an armful? Everybody's a movie critic this hour. Let's hear it. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Soundtrack for Gravity behind us right there, as if you might not feel that great expanse of space. We've got two top-notch movie critics to take us in this hour from Chicago, Scott Tobias. He's editor at the online film lovers magazine The Dissolve, former film editor for the AV Club. Scott Tobias, good to have you here with us here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
And from Pasadena, California, we're joined by Claudia Puig, marvelous film critic for USA Today. Claudia, good to have you back at On Point. Thanks for being here.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to go. We're going to get right into the muck and fight of it this week. But just step back for a second, Claudia. Looking at this year, people are saying, darn good harvest. This was a great year for film after years in which people were saying, it's all TV now. Film is on its way out. Film's collapsing. Pretty good year, Claudia.
Absolutely. It's the best year I can remember in the dozen years I've been a film critic. I think it was very hard to winnow it down to 10. And I'm still a little confused as to why they didn't fill that 10th slot, because to me, there were, you know, at least 15 films that could have vied for Best Picture, if not more.
Scott, how do you figure that? All these great films were told, and they can put 10 up there these days, and they only do 9. Who does that diss, and why do you think they stopped short?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm so confused by that expansion, and that's a whole other issue for me. But if there's a missing 10th, I think that's inside Llewyn Davis's spot, and I would have liked to have seen that earn the 10th spot. But my argument would be to bring it back to 5 and create a real competition. But I don't know if that argument flies particularly well in a year where there's so many good movies.
People also like The Butler and say, why wasn't that there? Or Fruitvale Station.
Yes, definitely.
But the young man killed by a BART police officer in Oakland, California, and yet it's just 9. Before we dive in on what you all think, Best Picture and right on down, let me just get your sense of what actually gets awarded year in and year out. Claudia, do you think the Academy generally gives it to those, you know, films and actors and everybody else who really deserve it? Does it look like politics, like marketing? How do you read the decisions we tend to get out of the Academy?
It's a little of all those things, Tom. I think that, you know, in years you see it go to something smaller like the Hurt Locker. You see that people really are trying to give it to something worthwhile or important. And then other years you see it go to something that's a little bit more political like Titanic. You know, that's a big, huge box office blockbuster. I think they've moved away a little bit from that. There used to be sort of a theory that, you know, if it had to be very successful at the box office in order to win for Best Picture. I think more and more it has to be something important or epic for the most part. And if there isn't anything in the running that's like that, as there wasn't last year, it goes to Argo, which was, you know, kind of covered a lot of ground. It was political, and yet there was humor to it, and it was well done. But I think for the most part, this is why you never see comedies, you know, really making it up there, which is a shame because sometimes a great comedy can be better than, you know, any drama. But for the most part, that's why I know I'm jumping ahead here, but I think it's going to go to 12 Years a Slave because it is the most important of all the films.
Scott, how do you read the decisions that tend to come out of the Academy? Do you find yourself as a film critic nodding along and saying, yeah, they got that right. That's the best film. That's the best performance. Or, oh boy, who's voting here?
It depends year to year. You know, if there was a year that Crash won over Brokeback Mountain, I think that a lot of that I certainly regretted that that happened at the time, and maybe people regret that happening now. It's an interesting situation how this plays out every year. It's like a political campaign. It's treated like a political campaign, and studios offer up these films, and they kind of go up and down in the polls, and the polls are but it's also hard to figure out what those polls are. In a way the talk about Oscars kind of creates little bits of momentum here and there, but ultimately I think you end up with something that has to win a consensus. So you look at something like Argo last year. I think that's a political film, but it's not too political. I mean, I would have gone for something like Zero Dark Thirty, but that was a movie that was political, yet attracted a tremendous amount of controversy and became sort of a toxic item. And so I think Argo was a safer choice, and that's what ended up winning.
Everybody's got an opinion. We'll hear yours and from our listeners here. Let's go straight to Best Picture. Of course, you've got American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, The Wolf of Wall Street. Here's a little bit from American Hustle, directed by David O. Russell. Tells the story of the fictionalized version of the Abscan sting in the late 70s, early 80s. Nominated for 10 Academy Awards, including Best Actor for Christian Bale as con man Irving Rosenfeld, and Best Supporting Actress for Jennifer Lawrence as wife Rosalind. Here they are, acting their hearts out.
First time in my life I do the right thing.
Oh, shut up.
No.
Shut up.
Save a young single mother and a kid. I marry you. I adopt them.
You fell in love. Don't you dare forget that part. We fell madly in love.
Yes, I fell in love. My God, I fell in love.
But you know what? I thought you were mysterious like my mother until it turned out the mysterious just meant depressed, all right? Hard to reach. I mean, I'm dying here.
Okay, American Hustle, all kinds of buzz around it. And yet, who knows where we're going to go here. Let's go right to Gravity. Get that feeling from outer space. We'll go to 12 Years a Slave, and then I want you, Scott and Claudia, to tell us where you're headed. Gravity, there they are, Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, way out there floating, things going south fast.
Explorer, this is Kowalski confirming visual contact with debris. Debris is from a BSC sat. Repeat, I have a
record. Dr. Stone requesting faster transport.
We have to go.
Kennedy reports meteorological conditions. Don't go.
Explorer, copy. Explorer, Dr. Stone requesting faster transport to Bay Area. Explorer, do you copy?
Explorer, permission to retrieve Dr. Stone.
Here goes one.
From Gravity. All right, we'll go to 12 Years a Slave in just a moment, but look down this list, Claudia. These 9 could be 10, you say, could be 11 or 12, you some say. Among these, how do you begin to sort them out? And if you were to choose, if you were the whole Academy, Claudia, what would you put up there?
This is a tough year because I personally really was moved by 12 Years a Slave. So I think that would be my choice. But a close second for me would have been Nebraska, which I know isn't even in the top three, that are being most discussed. I just feel like that was a perfect film in so many ways and very moving. I think it's a three-way race between 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, and American Hustle. All of great films, all of which I enjoyed a great deal. But I just think I really think it should go to 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave because of the history that's represented there, because they caught unbelievable sort of visceral and intellectual pain of being a slave.
Yeah, exactly. They caught the visceral pain. They captured a very nuanced performance from Chiwetel Ejiofor that also was beautifully shot. There was just, some of the sort of naturalistic shots of life on a plantation. It has the gravitas that you mentioned earlier. And to me, I mean, of all the films that I've ever seen in which slavery is portrayed, this feels the most real and accurate. And it's pretty unflinching in its portrayal of it. And I just think the performances are all uniformly really, really strong.
9 Academy Award nominations for 12 Years a Slave. Here, Michael Fassbender plays the vicious slave master, and Lupita Nyong'o plays an enslaved young woman named Patsy, nominated both for Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress, respectively. In this scene, the slave master confronts Patsy Nyong'o about her leaving his plantation without permission.
I went to Master Shaw's plantation.
You admit it?
Yes, freely. And you know why? I got this from Mrs. Shaw. Mrs. Epps won't even grant me no soap to clean with. I stink so much I make myself gag. 500 pounds of cotton, day in, day out, more than any man here. And for that, I will be clean.
The wonderful Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave whipped viciously, ultimately, for going for soap. What do you think, Scott? Would it be at the top of your list? Will it be at the top of the Academy's?
I think it might be at the top of the Academy's. It's certainly near the top of mine. I think like Claudia gets it right. Unflinching is a good word for it. This is a film that was directed by Steve McQueen, who's a British filmmaker. Mm-hmm. His previous work is Hunger and Shame, and he's a director who kind of specializes in films about prisons, you know, prisons of the body, prisons of the mind. And he's a very rigorous director, and I think one of the things I appreciate about 12 Years a Slave is just how focused it is. And how unflinching it is, specifically with regards to the brutality. I mean, that's really when the camera gets held, and I have a lot of respect for it. It could be much softer, and it's not. It wouldn't be my favorite film of the nine.
That Scott,
would
be keep us in mystery. Oh, okay, we heard it. It's her. We got a little soundtrack from that right here as we go out. Scott Tobias, please stand by. Claudia Puig. We're talking about who should win the Oscars. Soundtrack from her. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
There's things I wish I knew. There's no thing I'd keep from you. It's a dark and shiny place, but with you, my dear, I'm safe and where a million miles away.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about who should win the Oscars. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Actress, right on down the line. On the merits, Claudia Puig is with us, film critic for USA Today, a regular on NPR's Film Week. Joins us from Pasadena, California. Scott Tobias is with us from Chicago, former film editor for the AV Club, now editor at the online film lovers magazine The Dissolve. You can join us this hour. Who do you think deserves the Academy Awards this year? What performance, what film, what score? Behind us right here, Thomas Newman's score from Saving Mr. Banks, nominated for Best Original Score. Did Gravity blow your mind? 12 Years a Slave, Her, Wolf, Hustle? Are you rooting for Matthew McConaughey, Lupita Nyong'o, Cate Blanchett, Christian Bale? Nebraska should be up there. Right up there says Claudia Puig, directed by Alexander Payne. Nominated for 6 Academy Awards, about an elderly man, Woody, played by Bruce Dern, who wants to go to Nebraska to collect a $1 million sweepstakes he imagines he's won. His son, David, played by former Saturday Night Liver Will Forte, tries to dissuade him but ends up going along. Dern is up for Best Actor for his performance.
Listen to me. You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam, so you got to stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
You didn't even have a suitcase.
I'm not staying there.
Dad, I can't let you go.
It's none of your business.
Yes, it is. I'm your son.
Well, then why don't you take me?
I can't just drop everything and drive to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, what else you got going on?
Will Forte and Bruce Dern nominated there. Bruce Dern in Nebraska. And Scott Tobias says Her, where, of course, Spike Jonze's film Theodore, played by Joaquin Phoenix, forms a close bond with his computer and phone's operating system, Samantha, voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Film is nominated for 5 Academy Awards.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody?
So, talk about different genres, how to compare and contrast across these huge lines. I mean, Scott, you're a critic. You say Her. Claudia really likes Nebraska, but would go with 12 Years a Slave. How do you look at such a big array, 9 films here, and begin to tease out the one that you would put at the top of the list, Scott?
Well, I guess it's apples and oranges. It's a, you know, I mean, all of these films are accomplished in different ways. Though I have gotten to where I after having Honeycrisp apples, I believe I'm now preferring apples pretty strongly over oranges.
Meaning,
so I'm used to ranking these things. I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But of those, her really stood out for me the most because it feels so much an expression of what it's like to live today, which is kind of what great science fiction does. I mean, this movie takes place in the near future, but just feels so much like it captures the tenor of the times while also saying something profound about relationships in general, about how we sort of evolve, how relations evolve and often people evolve past each other. And I just thought it was a very beautiful, original, and quite funny movie. So that's my choice marginally over a lot of others on this list.
A lot of response online. Matt here says, I have not seen 12 Years a Slave yet, but I can't stop thinking about her. Never has a future setting seemed so absolutely believable. But then Judy, to your pick, Claudia, Judy writes, 12 Years a Slave without a doubt for Best Picture. There's one shot toward the end, an extended silent close-up of Ejiofor, during which for a moment he stares directly into the lens. I remember that. At that one moment, she writes, I wanted to run from the theater as if I was complicit in his fate. That moment was more brutal to me than the film's lynchings and whippings. Well, those are pretty visceral too. Claudia, how do you go about it? It's sort of your job maybe in the end to pick one. How do you look across such diverse offerings and do that?
It is incredibly hard, and I would say it's apples, oranges, and like papayas, because some of these are, you know, I love her. I think I feel very much like Scott did. It just captured this sense of a not too distant future that I could believe. It was, you know, just little subtleties like I'm trying to remember what one company had bought out another. And, you know, it just the way in which Los Angeles looked just, you know, in this 20 years from now, 50 years from now, whatever it was supposed to be. I loved Gravity, too. The first time I saw it, I was transported. So it's very hard. You know, in what I do, we give it stars. So, you know, all of those got 4 stars. Or, you know, very close to it. So it's very tough. I think ultimately I go with what moves me the most and what I felt across the board just spoke to me. And in that case, you know, as I said, 12 Years a Slave in Nebraska, but I was moved by just about every film on this list, maybe the exception of Wolf of Wall Street I found entertaining. I wasn't necessarily moved by that.
Yeah, we'll talk about Wolf. What about Nebraska? What moved you in that? What was it? We understand 12 Years a Slave. It was incredibly moving. What about Nebraska for you, Clark?
I thought the characterization of Woody was so nuanced and multifaceted. He was, at first, he seems like a cantankerous coot, and you know, you kind of just view him as that. And then you realize there's so many more layers to him, and you realize that all he really wants to do is kind of leave a mark on, you know, the world. And he was a simple guy and he just wants to help his family. And then you add in all these ancillary characters that are just, you know, they broaden this world. They create this portrait that feels so vivid. And at times is funny, at times is very sad and thoroughly entertaining all the way through. And the black and white photography to me felt that much more evocative of, you know, the family relations of this place that no longer was as vital as it had been, this place in Nebraska. To me, that movie fired on all cylinders. You know, I found myself laughing at some points. I found myself with a lump in my throat at other points. And, I think it's Bruce Dern's best performance. I'm a little sad that he's not, you know, apparently at the top of, you know, everybody's mind for best actor.
And we'll look at that. Alexander Payne, a long way from Hawaii with his black and white and often cold-looking Nebraska. Christine in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Christine, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
This is the first year, I have to say, I have seen every film nominated other than Philomena, which I'm hoping to get to on the weekend. And I have so enjoyed the films this year. And I personally have to go with Claudia. I think 12 Years a Slave should and will win. It was a must-see film that I believe everybody should see. The story in it and cinematography is, it's just, you really are captivated by it. It can be hard to watch. To me, reminiscent of Passion of the Christ, that type of movie where it can be hard to watch some of it, but is an essential movie. I I enjoyed it, and I would say second to that was probably, for me, American Hustle. I thought, again, the acting was phenomenal, and the costuming for that movie, I believe, was amazing. For Best Actor, I really have to go with Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. I thought his performance was outstanding, the sacrifice he made for the movie. I just thoroughly enjoyed, and I really think I have to go with Meryl Streep for August Osage County. Amy Adams is a big favorite of mine also, close by.
In American Hustle. You've got your list right there at the tip of your tongue, Christine. That's just great. Of course, McConaughey, yes, the sacrifice he made in losing all that weight must have been unbelievable. But you end up out of all that with 12 Years a Slave, and I certainly understand why. It's so powerful. One more right here. Jackie in Beaufort, South Carolina. Jackie, you're on.
Hi. I just felt like 12 Years a Slave was just too compressed.
Compressed emotionally, visually? What do you mean by that, Jackie?
In all ways, because it was so brutal, and they put like 12 years of brutality into that shorter period of time.
Yeah, that's a lot to take, a lot to experience, too, I guess, if you lived it. So what would you put at the top of the heap?
I'm going to put Nebraska at the top of the heap.
And what about it exactly? We heard why Claudia likes it. What about you, Jackie?
I felt like, unlike most movies these days, it was something that we average citizens could kind of relate to. Family relationships,
yeah.
Poverty, people that aren't in these glitzy apartments.
Yes.
In New York City, living the good life, that's not what most of us are doing.
Nothing fancy and just hoping to, dreaming of leaving a mark, leaving something for your kids somehow.
Right, yeah. Right. I thought it was outstanding in every way. And I laughed and I cried, and that's what you really want to do in a movie, I think.
There's the gamut. Jackie, thanks for your call. And one more, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Beth, you're on the air, Beth.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say something about Her. My husband and I, after we got home from seeing it, we drove all the way home in silence, and then we got inside, and we both looked at each other and said pretty much at the same time, I think that might be the best movie I've ever seen. and then we started talking about why, and both of us kept going back to the love scene that they have, and it's where both, you know, all the lights go out and you can just hear voices, and it was so beautiful. We were both in tears through it. And so I think both of us will feel personally robbed if that one doesn't win.
Does it? What about the fact that it's in the end machine love from one side here, Beth? How did that factor into your emotional weighing of this film?
I think it had to end in a bittersweet way. Like I don't want to give everything away for people who haven't seen it, but I mean, like I think the machine was just too great of a consciousness for him to, you know, I think it got him to a point where he could finally accept his divorce, and I think that's the purpose it served. So I loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
Beth, I appreciate your call. Scott, for those who haven't seen it, explain how you can make a great movie when on one side is just a computer program.
Oh, I'm not sure. I think that's the challenge that Spike Jonze set for himself, and he pulled it off. You know, I think one of the keys to the movie is Scarlett Johansson's voice performance.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, there's been some joking about how perverse it is to make a movie starring Scarlett Johansson in which you just have her voice, but that voice is so distinctive and it's such a performance in itself that I wanted her to get a nomination for an Oscar, but I guess that was disallowed for one reason or another. But I don't know, you know, it's one of the mysteries of the film. I mean, that's the big leap the film takes. And you know, I think you know, love is a thing that can transcend the body, and it's about ideas, and I think we can more and more relate to a relationship like this because we have so many relationships ourselves that are wholly online, really, right?
Yes, increasingly we do. That took it to a new place and took a lot of people right along with it. We heard some love for Matthew McConaughey there. Extremely lean. In Dallas Buyers Club, he plays homophobic AIDS patient Ron Woodruff, who ends up smuggling unapproved pharmaceutical drugs that treat AIDS into Texas. Film is nominated for 6 Academy Awards.
Mr. Woodruff, you've tested positive for HIV. Have you ever used intravenous drugs? Have you ever engaged in homosexual conduct?
Homo. Did you say homo? You made a mistake. That ain't me.
Mr. Woodruff, we estimate you have 30 days left.
Claudia Puig, what about Matthew McConaughey here? I mean, that is some performance, but look at the film overall, the performance overall. How do you place it?
I think the performance overall outshines the film overall. I think both his performance and Jared Leto's performances were outstanding. And I think that the transformation, not just the physical transformation that Matthew McConaughey makes, you know, which is astounding in this role, but the transformation that he as an actor has made from this lightweight, you know, romantic comedy guy that you just kind of dismiss as a pretty face or a handsome smile or whatever, into an actor of real substance. And it's, you know, this film kind of is the crowning point of that, but he's been doing a number of other Mud. He was, you know, he's been in a string of films in the past year or two that he really has proven himself to be an actor to be reckoned with. So, you know, that kind of is really surprising and wonderful. So I'm, you know, happy to see that, and I thought he was amazing. I thought the film itself had a couple of flaws, but was certainly a strong film, but it wasn't one of the 10 best necessarily.
So best actor, who would you put up? You got Christian Bale, Bruce Dern, DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street, Chiwetel Ejiofor, of course, 12 Years a Slave, and McConaughey right there. Who tops your list?
Well, I'm going back to Bruce Dern because I just think it's an amazing performance and so different from anything he's done. But I believe it's going to be Matthew McConaughey, and I will have no problem with that. I won't feel robbed. I think he, you know, and I think we've seen sort of historically how the Academy likes to honor performances in which people make those kind of sacrifices, whether it's the, you know, Jake LaMotta, Robert De Niro's gaining weight, or whether it's Charlize Theron looking, the transformations that people make tend to, the very dramatic transformations are the ones that get the most attention from the Academy. So I think it will go to him.
Scott, who would you put at the top of the best actor list?
Oh, in terms of who's going to win, I agree with Claudia on that. Though I will say that as good as McConaughey is in this movie, I think it's like my fourth favorite performance of his lately. After Mud and True Detective and Wolf of Wall Street, he's just been fantastic. But of these five, my favorite is Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, this is my favorite performance of his, I think, and it's the one film he's been in with Scorsese. He and Scorsese have been making quite a few movies together over the last 20 years, and it's the one time when he doesn't seem like he's playing grown up. So it seems like it's a real performance. He's very comfortable. He's using all of his charisma to play this guy who's sort of a knucklehead, and I think he's giving us a sense of the allure of this world, and then also the toxicity of it as well.
So over Christian Bale, with that talk about a transformation, he's got one there, and tapping on that hairpiece, over Dern in his years doing it, even over Chiwetel Ejiofor, who had to carry that central role in 12 Years a Slave.
These are all good performances, I think.
Yeah,
at Christian Bale, I don't know about that transformation. That would seem like more of the makeup department in that
true
respect.
Fair.
I thought he was great. I thought Christian Bale was wonderful in that role. Yeah.
And then he's kind of gone away. Yeah.
He's kind of gone unsung in that, you know, part. But if you really watch it, that is quite a performance.
Christian Bale in American Hustle on that short list, the five for Best Actor. We'll come back and look at Best Actress nominees: Amy Adams, Kate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench, Meryl Streep. Behind us right here, Let It Go, Idina Menzel. Best Original Song nominee from the animated film Frozen. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're asking this hour who should win the Oscars, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Actress, right on down the line, on the merits. Behind us right here, the score from The Book Thief, John Williams, music maestro, nominated for Best Original Score. Scott Tobias is with us, editor of the online filmgoers magazine, The Dissolve. Claudia Puig is with us, film critic for USA Today. And you can join us. What makes a best picture for you? What makes it this year? And what performance just wowed you? What about the snubs this year? The leftouts, Llewyn Davis, Robert Redford, Fruitvale Station. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Joe is calling from Buffalo, New York. Joe, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hey, Tom. You know, you would ask your guest how you can judge films that span such a wide gamut of experience. And that exact question was put to a judge at the Westminster Dog Show, which kind of is the same task, you know? And she said,
yeah, all those species, who's on top?
Exactly, and you got to judge each dog against the perfection for that particular type of breed, you know, and so you can't really cross compare. You compare them to the best of that, genre. But in movies, I think American Hustle would win using that as a judging technique, because that was the ultimate con movie. My wife and I saw that, and we were talking for days about like who really started conning who when and really what was the ultimate con in that. So I thought it was great. I thought it was a very, very well executed.
Really ropes us in that way. It put my mind all the way back to the old, like Orson Welles, F is for Fake, where you come out bamboozled yourself. What about that criteria for deciding what's at the top, Scott? You know, best of genre across time.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about the Westminster Dog Show and how I think
Chihuahuas and the Huskies.
I pretty much think the pug should win every year. So I don't know how that works. But I don't know. It can be tough to compare these things. And we do, film critics, we do have top 10 lists, and we end up ranking these things. And, you know, it ends up it becomes a very arbitrary process where, you know, if you were to ask me to rank a list one day and then do it a week later, the list would probably be a little different every time out.
Everything's in the gumbo. You say Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street. Here's some of that.
Let me tell you something. There is no nobility in poverty. I have been a rich man, and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every time. Because at least as a rich man, when I have to face my problems, I show up in the back of a limo wearing a $2,000 suit and a $40,000 gold watch.
Greed is Good is back on Wall Street. In some ways, been there, done that. On the other hand, here it comes again with DiCaprio playing you hear it right there. On the other hand, we've got snubs this year. Fruitvale Station, a lot of people really liked, a drama based on real-life events leading to the death of Oscar Grant. This was a young man killed by a Bay Area Rapid Transit police officer, BART officer, at the Fruitvale Bay Area Rapid Transit Station in Oakland, California. This was New Year's Day, 2009. Here's a scene from Fruitvale that highlights the strained relationship between Oscar, played by Michael B. Jordan, and his mother, played by Octavia Spencer, who just can't stand to see her troubled son, who is in and out of jail.
I'm not coming here for these visits anymore. This is my last time.
I know this is the last time for me, too. I told you that. I ain't going down no more.
You
want
to keep putting Sophina through this, and you go right ahead. Okay? But Tatiana, that baby doesn't deserve this, Oscar.
She's young, knows what's going on.
So I guess that's why she asked me why you love taking your vacations more than you like being with her.
Ma, you got to tell her I love her. Tell her I ain't never gonna
tell
leave
her yourself.
Fruitvale Station right there. Claudia, here's a listener on Twitter. Ryan says, who should win? He says, Renaissance Trio, 12 Years a Slave, Fruitvale Station, and The Butler. Only one out of three on his list made their list. What about a film like Fruitvale Station? Why it doesn't show up? They've got room for one more.
I agree. I'm very flummoxed by that one. I loved that film. And again, you know, using the scale of just being really shaken and emotionally affected, that one really did it for me. I thought Michael B. Jordan's performance was astounding. And this is a first-time filmmaker. And I almost wish they had a category, like the way some film festivals do. Sundance has that, you know, or the Independent Spirit Awards have that. Best first-time film or best, you know, direction by a first-time filmmaker, because that film is so worthy. And we had Beasts of the Southern Wild show up in the top 10 last year, which was a similar situation. Ben Zeitlin's first film. It was wonderful. This was definitely on my top 10. And I'm sorry to see, I think it was just a little too small maybe. And if you go by that standard where, you know, it has to be a film of making a certain amount of money at the box office, I hope that that is not the standard, but I fear that perhaps that could be the standard with the Academy. That was just a little too under the radar for them.
Another that a few months back, I think everybody would have expected to be out there, but with only two nominations for cinematography and sound mixing, was Inside Llewyn Davis. Coen brothers, by no means new filmmakers, but mostly snubbed by the Academy. Here's Oscar Isaac plays Llewyn Davis, a down-and-out folk singer in New York during the 1960s.
One of these mornings, it won't be long, you'll call my name.
Do you ever think about the future at all?
The future?
Fairly well.
What'd you say you played?
Folk songs.
Folk songs. I said you were a musician.
Fairly well, a little trailer action there. Scott Tobias, everybody, I think, at one point would have thought this would have been right up in the thick of things, and it's not. Why not?
Well, it wasn't hugely successful. It's extremely bleak. So I guess maybe those two reasons might be there. Again, I don't know why they can't go to 10. That would, because it certainly deserves a spot, as does Oscar Isaac in the lead. I think it's one of the Coen brothers' best movies, and they've made many, 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 many great movies. So I'm a little flummoxed and a little disappointed, but not terribly surprised. I think it's in terms of the feel of the film is about as sad as they've done. The man who wasn't there would be sadder, but it's a tough one.
Too sad for the Academy. Let's go to Best Actress. Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine is not nominated for Best Picture, but Cate Blanchett got a nod for Best Actress. Widely acclaimed performance is Jasmine. This is the wealthy New York socialite whose life falls apart after her husband's arrested for crooked deals on Wall Street. In this scene, she recounts the humiliation of being forced to work in a shoe store.
Friends I'd had at dinner parties, our apartment came in and I waited on them. I mean, do you have any idea what that's like? No, one minute you're hosting women and the next you're measuring their shoe size and fitting them. Erica Bishop came into the store. She saw me. Was so embarrassed for me. She slipped out thinking I didn't see her. I saw you, Erica!
Claudia, there we go. Claude, Cate Blanchett, Amy Adams for American Hustle, Sandra Bullock, Gravity, Judi Dench, Philomena, Meryl Streep, August, Osage County. On the merits, where would your Oscar go in this category, Claudia?
I think it would have to go to Cate Blanchett. You know, just listening to that clip, it almost sounded like a stage play. And she, you know, she is playing kind of a latter-day Blanche DuBois with a little bit of Ruth Madoff thrown in there. It's such a meaty role, and she takes it and runs with it. She's astounding. And, you know, she has taken every award, I think, that there is to be had.
Who's
so
your
far.
Runner-up if you have to choose one, then?
You know, it might be Judi Dench. I had a couple problems with the film, but I thought her performance was really good. I love Amy Adams. I don't think this was her best role. I've liked her better in other things. I thought Sandra Bullock was quite good, but I guess it would... I almost don't even have one, because to me it's just Cate Blanchett all the way, but I guess it would be Judi Dench. I think what she did as Philomena was quite moving.
Let's hear a little bit of that. Of course, she's playing Philomena Lee, who's searching for her son, who was taken away very young from her. She's joined in that search by journalist Martin Sixsmith, played by Steve Coogan. Film's up for 4 Academy Awards.
I was going to ask you, Martin, if it'd be possible not to use my real name when you write the story. Perhaps you could call me Nancy. I've always loved that name, Nancy. I have a niece called Nancy. Oh, no, maybe they'd think it's her. What about Anne? Anne Boleyn. That's a lovely name. Well, somebody had that.
We're going to have to use your real name, Philomena. That's the way these things work.
Judi Dench there in Philomena. Scott, I love the way you can hear the sound of her acting, that state of mind where you just let your mind roam out there across Nancy and Anne and all the rest. There's Cate Blanchett. There's Judi Dench. Who would you put at the top for Best Actress, Scott?
I'm with Claudia on this one. I think of those five, Cate Blanchett is the real standout. And Claudia just put it perfectly. I think this cross between Ruth Madoff and Blanche DuBois. I'm not a huge fan of the film Blue Jasmine. I think whenever Woody Allen gets outside of Manhattan, he loses a certain amount of expertise, and there's so much of Blue Jasmine, I think, is just too broadly drawn, and that almost extends to this character that Cate Blanchett plays, but she just digs right into that role and makes someone a little larger than life, but still quite human out of it. So that's the standout for me.
What about Sandra Bullock in Gravity? You know, all that blue screen floating around, does it amount to a real contender for the top slot in your view, Scott?
I appreciate it, what she does. I mean, it has to be a huge challenge as an actor to do that. Though I think my feelings about that performance are tied to my reservations about the film being too talky in a way. If you can contrast that film with something like All Is Lost, which has no dialogue and is Robert Redford's performance is all physical, I just feel like the silence in that film is just so much more effective. And I almost feel like, you know, if I were to, I never like to say a filmmaker should have done this instead, but I do like to imagine what Gravity would be like if there was no talk and it was just all physical, because it's such a beautiful piece of filmmaking, pure filmmaking.
Claudia, I thought in a way Gravity was All Is Lost, but set in space in a way. Why do you think All Is Lost didn't make in these lists, Redford?
You know, that is a mystery. I thought, I agree with Scott. I think All Is Lost was just, what Redford did was masterful. He conveyed so much, you know, with literally not a word, just with his facial expressions. And, to me, it's sort of the peak of his career. And I was, quite disappointed to see that he didn't make it into that. I also think it would have been really interesting for the Academy to award someone who didn't speak. It would have been saying something about, their ability to sort of see beyond traditional roles or traditional performances. But I agree with you. I think that there is a lot of similarity between those two films. I am a huge fan of Alfonso Cuarón, the director of Gravity, and I think he did, the visuals for me were what it was all about. And I agree with Scott. Maybe there's a little too much talk, and I realize she had to talk to herself. Otherwise, it would, that's always a little difficult as a viewer. But I think it's one of her best roles, definitely.
Definitely inhabited that spacesuit, that space capsule, that lost in space problem. Daryl in Montgomery, Alabama. Daryl, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Thanks, Tom. I just watched Tom Hanks again in Captain Phillips this weekend, the second time I've seen it. And I still don't understand why he wasn't included in the nominees for Captain Phillips, especially that performance in the latter part of that movie. And I wondered if your guests thought that people just thought it was just another Tom Hanks performance. And he's so good that they just kind of decided to leave him out this time.
Yeah, I wondered the same thing. It gets very intense later on in the film. Here's a little bit from earlier when the Somali pirates are taking over. Tom Hanks as Captain Richard Phillips, and Barkhad Abdi, nominated for Best Supporting Actor, playing the pirate Abdulwali Muz.
Captain, no one get hurt if you don't play no game.
It's the ship's broken. We had to go.
Nobody gets hurt. Easy. Hey! Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I'm the captain now.
He's the captain now. We know that. What about it, Scott? No Tom Hanks with this, with Saving Mr. Banks. How do you read that?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think that last 5 minutes or so of performance from Tom Hanks is just the single best piece of acting I've seen. I saw
when he's
last
in that little
year.
Rescue boat, and oh my God, everything is coming together there.
Unbelievable. And I mean, it is for such an outpouring of emotion for him. And I think if you're in the audience, certainly I was very affected by that. And I guess I don't know. I think I think they should contract Best Picture back to five, and maybe expand the acting categories to 10 or something, because some of these omissions, Oscar Isaac and Tom Hanks and others, these are very worthy people.
Rhett in Bowman, South Carolina. Rhett, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I wanted to share that this is sort of film and this creative space
is one of the few areas that I'm really proud of my generation, and also proud of the United States. So I think that this is an area we undeniably excel in, and I'm proud that we have so many offerings in the field that are of high quality.
Red, it's a great year to make that observation. Some years we may have wondered, but this year I'm right there with you. And it's good to feel that pride in the creative enterprise. Rhett, thanks for your call. Hey, last categories, I'd just like to hear Best Supporting Actor. Claudia, here we just heard of Arkady Abdi there, Bradley Cooper, American Hustle, Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street, Jared Leto, Dallas Buyers Club. Where do you go with this one?
I go with Jared Leto, but I'm sitting here pondering what Scott just said about expanding these to 10, and I think that would actually be a really great idea, or at least 8 or something, because I agree on the Tom Hanks
front. We'll have an 8-hour award ceremony, you know.
That's true. But I think it's Jared Leto's year. He, again, it's that transformation that the Academy loves. You know, you don't see any remnant of, you know, what we know Jared Leto looks like, and the performance is it's funny, it's poignant. I think it's his year. I think he's
best
really
actress supporting role, Lupita Nyong'o, Julie Roberts,
yes.
June Squibb, Jennifer Lawrence, Sally Hawkins. Where do you go?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, for 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, she was so moving. I mean, I'm a big fan of Sally Hawkins. I think her performance is a little underrated. It was fantastic. Jennifer Lawrence won last year. She's 23. We'll see her winning a lot over the course of her career. But I thought she was great, too. But to me, it's Lupita Nyong'o who stood out.
You're both so good to share. Scott, we're going to have to read yours on supporting actor and actress. But great to have you with us this hour. Scott Tobias, editor at The Dissolve. Scott, thank you for being with us. Just great to have you. Enjoy Sunday night.
I will. Thank you so much.
And Claudia Puig, film critic for USA Today. Claudia, you're great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One more Best Original Score nomination from Philomena here. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.